Began the book of Ruth last week. If you were not here, I'll catch you up a little bit. The book of Ruth is a tragedy. It's a book of great sadness. It is not a book about the moving of nations. It's a book about a single family. It's the story of a small little family in the midst of the upheaval of sin in the nation of Israel. We met last week a man named Elimelech. He had his wife Naomi, they had two children. And when their hometown faced famine and recession, they left their hometown. They left the promised land. In desperation, they went to a foreign land of Moab. There they settled and they found work and it was going okay. And then Elimelech died. The father passed away. Now this is a very bad thing. In that world, it is a patriarchal society, which means only the boys inherit the family wealth. So let's say I have a family. I have me and Angie. I got Nesto and Lena, my two kids. All my inheritance would go to my son. My daughter would get nothing. What happens in that world is daughters marry off, go to a new family, and their inheritance is bound through their husband. Women were cut off economically and politically from the power of the day. Naomi would have been in bad trouble, but she had two sons, so her sons could still inherit their father's wealth. She's going to be okay. The sons found wives there in Moab. And for years, they're together, but sadly, no babies are born. They're barren. It's a very discouraging time. Naomi, the widow, waiting for her sons to bear children, and no children come. And then both sons die there in the land of Moab. And all you have left are these three widows, destitute, with no hope, no economic strength. And that's where the passage begins today. Verse 6. Then Naomi arose with her daughters-in-law and returned from the fields of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that Yahweh had visited his people to give them food. So her life, Naomi's life, has been detonated. She has buried her husband and her two sons. Her life has been tragic for the last 10 years of her life. But she hears back in her own town, the God of her people has come. He has brought financial success. There is food. She has a plan. I'm going to go back home. That's her plan. Not a great plan, but it's a plan. Verse 7. So she went forth from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, these three women are walking on this long 7-day road trip back to Bethlehem. And she says to her daughters-in-law, go. Return each of you to her mother's house. May Yahweh, my God, show loving kindness with you as you have shown with the dead and with me. We're going to stop right here. There's a word here we're going to dive deep on. This word is the point of our sermon today, and it's the word loving kindness. This is a word that was invented. The word loving kindness isn't really a word. It's like taking two words and like squishing together, because the Hebrew word behind this word is the word hesed. Or if you're really Hebrew, you'd say hesed. I can't do the it's like a hawk, like hesed. Hesed means covenant love. It means steadfast love. It means faithfulness. It means commitment. We see this word throughout the scriptures. It's like found 280 times in the Bible. And most of the time, it's talking about God's covenant love to his people Israel. I go to Exodus 34. Listen to what God says about him. This is God talking about himself. He says, "Then Yahweh passed by in front of Moses and called out, 'Yahweh, Yahweh, 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 God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth.'" There's that word again, abounding in loving kindness. Verse 7, "Who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin." When God describes his character, he uses the word hesed twice. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a God who shows covenant love to his people. It means God is ride or die with his people. It's a loyal love. I ain't going to leave you. I'm not going to turn my back on you. You will never be forgotten from me. If you're with me, I'm with you to the end of the line. We find this as well in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 136 is a great psalm. I want to read to you the ESV version. You put it on the screen for me. It says this: "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever." That word steadfast love is our word hesed. ESV translated, it translates steadfast love, and that's what it means. It means enduring love. It means a love that doesn't fade. You know why it doesn't fade? Because covenant love is not seated in emotions. Covenant love is God's loyal love. Covenant love is God's loyal love. And sadly, in our world, we define love as an emotional feeling. I remember when I was in India, I brought with me a bunch of books, and because I had no TV, I read a lot. I read all my books in the first 3 months. I had nothing to read. So someone kindly sent me a care package in India, and in that care package was the book Twilight. Man, do I love vampire romance stories. No, I'm just kidding. But I got Twilight. It was a phenomenon back then. So I read the book Twilight. And to be fair, I did get hooked and read all four. But listen, I was like, what happens next? But I read the book. And in Twilight, Bella Swan, I can't believe I know all this stuff. She meets Edward the Vampire, and every time she talks about him, she's like, "I have butterflies in my stomach. I sweat when I..." Like, everything about him is emotional, and my breath catches in my throat. And for four books, it's that way. For four books, it's all like infatuation and crushing out on someone. And I was sad, because I'm like, do people think this is what love is? They think love is just the butterfly part? Because if to you love is butterflies, here's the awful reality: that stuff goes away. Real life isn't movie worthy most of the time. The love that God shows to us is not merely emotional, it is a commitment. Covenant love says, even when I don't feel like it, I am going to love you. My love for you is not based on what I can get from you. The way Americans define love, we define love as a taking thing. What can you do for me? How do you make me feel? That is not covenant love. That is a selfish love. That is a me-centered love. I'm 43 years old, so a lot of my friends are going through their midlife crises right now. And one thing you see in midlife crises, people will say things like, "I've loved people sacrificially for so long, It's time to live and make it about me. Covenant love is a loyal love, a steadfast love. This is how God loves his people. And covenant love is how we should love one another. In this book of Ruth, there is covenant love, because there's covenant love within the family. When I got married, I made a covenant to my wife. I will love you in sickness and in health, richer for poor, all the things we said. I've been married 21 years. I made that covenant 21 years ago. There are still seasons. It's hard. There are other covenants, though, besides marriage. I am a son to a mother. And there are unwritten rules of sonship, of being a child of someone. There's familial obligation. And in America, we don't like that. We don't like ought. We don't like should. We don't get it all. But there are oughts and there are shoulds. As a son, as a brother, as a friend, when people you've committed to love call, you go. It is inconvenient. Love is inconvenient. Love costs something. True, deep relationships cost something. Covenant love is God's loyal love. And these two girls, when they married Mahlon and Chilion, when they married Naomi's sons, they left their parents' house and said, "We are now with you, Elimelech and Naomi. We're a part of your family. We leave our family and we join your inheritance. We are now a family unit." Well, everyone has died. Everyone has died. And Naomi says, "Go. Go back to your mother's house. May Yahweh show loving kindness with you as you have shown with the dead and with me." She goes, "Listen, leave me. Go back to your mom's house." She's like, "I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to Bethlehem, I'm going to Judah. I'm going to be a poor widow the rest of my life. You have a better shot if you stay here in Moab, go back to your parents' house." And she says this. She goes, "May Yahweh grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband." She goes, "I release you from the covenant. Leave me, go back to your mom's house, and maybe you'll find a new husband, and maybe your life will be better than the awfulness we all went through together. May Yahweh give steadfast love to you the way you give steadfast love to my sons and to me." And they say, "No, we will return with you to your people." Her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, go, "We ain't leaving you, Naomi. We said we were with you. We're with you to the end." As Americans, as Westerners, we are so individualistic. We forsake all bonds of fellowship. We forsake family. We forsake lifetime friendships. We forsake our parents or our children, our siblings or our parents. And then we wonder, why are we all alone in the world? Because we cut everything off. These two women go, "We ain't leaving you because we made a promise and we are going to keep the promise we made to you." But Naomi doesn't stop. Naomi says, verse 11, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters. Go, I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if even I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. For it is more bitter for me than for you, for the hand of Yahweh has gone forth against me. The daughters go, we're not going to leave you. She goes, you have to leave me. These three women on this road, probably off to the side, just crying together. And she's telling them, you have to leave me. See, in that culture, it's a weird thing. I know it's weird to us, but this is the way it was back then. If a man died and left his wife with no children, it was left to another family member, a kinsman redeemer, to come and take her as his wife and give her a child, give her an heir, so she would not be cut off from inheritance. In the book of Matthew, the Pharisees asked Jesus Christ, remember this story where they asked Jesus, if a man has a wife and he dies and she marries a brother and he marries the brother and she marries the brother and she marries the brother, whose wife is she in the end? They're referencing that cultural idea. She says to them, guys, my daughters-in-law, I have no more kids to give you. Even if I got married tonight and got pregnant tonight, would you wait 18 years for my sons to grow up and be your husbands? You'd be past childbearing years. She's like, I can't give you anything good. We learn from this moment something very sad. The breaking of covenant love is a tragedy. The breaking of covenant love is a tragedy. Naomi is giving her daughters an out. She's not trying to weasel her way out of anything. She is saying, my life has fallen down so bad, I release you from your promise. You go. You go back home. You find a husband. If you go with me, it's only sadness and pain and suffering. I think of the song by Reba McEntire called Fancy. It's a sad song, guys. The mom tells the daughter, I'm going to buy you this really nice red dress. You go out and you meet a guy. And she says, Papa's run off, I'm real sick, and the baby's going to starve to death. She tells her daughter, you go out looking all good. You find a man, a husband to carry you. We're all not going to make it. You make it. And the mom's crying and just sending her daughter off, hoping you'll have a better life than the life that we can give to you. That song is a tragedy. This moment on the side of the road, these women are crying. It is a tragic moment. The breaking of covenant love is a hard thing. She's telling her daughters, you promised to go with me to the end. I release you from your promise. You go back to your mother's house. You find a new husband. You let me die alone and miserable. I don't want this fate for you. I see this kind of moment sometimes. As a pastor, I go to a lot of weddings, but I also go to a lot of funerals. I also walk into a lot of hospital rooms when someone is very sick at the end of their life. And sometimes you will see a spouse or a child, and they'll tell their dying beloved, it's okay. I'll be okay. You go ahead and you go. They like release them. They say, it's okay. You've got to fight for me more. You can go ahead and you can go home. And it is a brutal thing to say. Some people can't say the words. It's too hard to let go. But that is a release. I release you. You go ahead and die in peace. We're going to be all right. That is what Naomi's doing. She's saying, you can go and leave me here. And I hope you have a good life. I'll never see you again. But I hope my God will walk with you and you will have a better life than what we shared together. Because it has been awful and hard. The breaking of covenant love is a tragedy. I often say, one of the ways we see covenant love break the most is in divorce. Even when divorce, even when it is necessary because of the brokenness of the world, it's still sad, isn't it? I remember my mom divorced a guy she was married to, and even though that guy was a trip, and we needed to be free from that man, I was still sad to have no dad. We can pretend it doesn't hurt. We have divorce parties. The breaking of covenant love is always a tragedy. And here on the side of the road, as Naomi says goodbye to Ruth and Orpah, it's a tragedy. But here's what happens. Orpah, the one daughter, they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Orpah goes, okay, if you give me the out, I'm going to go. I'm so sorry. I love you. I'll miss you. And she walks down the street. She leaves that family unit. Let me tell you something. Orpah is not a bad person in this story. It is not a bad thing to receive mercy. It is not a bad thing to receive mercy and accept it. Sometimes we need the out. Sometimes we need to be released from our vow. I remember years ago, my good friend was getting married. I was supposed to go and be in that wedding. But we got pregnant. And the wedding was like 2 weeks before the due date of my kid. The wedding was in Chicago. And I called my buddy, like, I don't know what to do. What if I go to Chicago and she goes into labor while I'm in Chicago and I miss my first kid's birth? And my friend said to me, now, I had made a promise. I'll be at the wedding. I'll be there. I'll help with the things. I'll stand up with you guys. And that friend of mine said, bro, it's okay. You don't got to come. He gave me an out. Do you see that? It's a kind thing to do. He could have been like, you promised, man. You promised. Instead, he gave me the out. You know what I did? I received the release and was grateful for it. Thanks, man. And I didn't go. Which, so much to my wife's happiness, I didn't leave. It is not a weak thing to receive mercy. Orpah's not a bad person for going back home. It was probably the wise move for her. She leaves. It says, Ruth does not leave, though. Now there's two women on the side of the road crying together. Verse 15, then Naomi said, behold, your sister-in-law has returned to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. Naomi's like, you leave, Ruth, get out of here. There's no hope for you and me. There's nothing out there for us. You're young. You've got a chance at happiness. Leave me. And then Ruth says the most famous verse in this whole book. Ruth said, do not press me to forsake you and turning back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. Thus may Yahweh do to me and more if anything but death separates you and me. Ruth goes, Naomi, I ain't going nowhere. I'm with you to the end. That life over there in Bethlehem, it may be tragedy and loneliness and emptiness and poverty. But Naomi, you are not going to suffer alone. I'm going to be right next to you, suffering with you. That is covenant love. I am with you to the end of the line. So rare to see that kind of love. You see it and children who care for aging parents. I see it sometimes in the parents of addicts who don't enable but don't give up on their wayward children. Instead of, it'd be easier to say, you're not my child. I want to take you, put you somewhere far away, and not worry about you. But sometimes you see someone who chooses to love, even though it's hard and sacrificial. Ruth's like, I ain't going nowhere. That's what we learn from that. Covenant love is the foundation of healthy people, families, and communities. Covenant love is the foundation of healthy people, healthy families, and healthy communities. Dallas Gatlin was the leader of Carriage Town. He was the executive director for years. He's retired just this year. Dallas Gatlin did a dissertation on homelessness in America. And his research had an incredible finding. He in his research, he found there was one major element that was the biggest cause of homelessness in America. I would have thought addiction, mental illness was not it. The number one cause for homelessness in America is people had no people. They had no network. They were alone in the world. So when they fell down, there was no one to catch them. When I lived in India with Dave and his family, we were chased out of the country. A very stressful season of life. Angie and I came back home to America with no job, no house, no car, no knowledge of our next step. We came crashing back to America, not knowing where to go. And guess where we landed? At her mama's house. If we didn't have her parents, could have gone to my parents. That would have been something. Well, I'm sorry, Angie, but I had options. I had family who would have caught me. What if you don't have family? What if you fall down? There's no one there to love you. You all of a sudden you fall, and you fall into the street. Covenant love, that saying, I'm with you, ride or die. Man, Naomi, can you imagine how happy she must have been when Ruth's like, I ain't leaving you, Naomi. You're not alone. Whatever happens, it happens to us, not to you. Ruth is like, Naomi, I'm not a Moabite no more. I'm your daughter through and through. Where you live, I'll live. Your people are my people, and your God, I'm going back to my God, your God is the God of heaven. I'm with you. And Naomi gets to walk back home. And she's not alone in the world. It's a rare and beautiful thing to see covenant love play out. But just so you know, this is how God loves us. People often will fail us. They leave, they give up, they get mad, they write us off. But the God of heaven is a God of hesed love. A God of covenant love. And even if we have no family, even if we have no deep friendships, the God of heaven says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You're never going to be alone. Even if you blow your own life up and you find yourself in prison or homeless, you've burned every bridge God gave you graciously. Even at the end of all that insanity, the God of heaven is like, because of Jesus, I'm still with you. This is the good news of the cross. God loves his people to the end. Having Ruth give Naomi strength. Not only that, covenant love makes family strong. If you find a strong family in the world, that family has commitment one to another. People often said to me, Ernesto, how do you and your brothers have such good, deep friendship? I'm like, listen, all you guys see is us laughing. You weren't there for the big fights. Because your brothers fight. Family can be the biggest fights of all time, right? But you have the fight, but we're committed to one another beyond the fight. After the fight, when we make up, we're like better friends afterwards. Weird, weird stuff. Covenant love is the foundation of healthy people, healthy families, and healthy communities. So I guess I'll leave with this. I'll leave us with this thought. How do you love people? Do you love people for what you can get from them? Are you a taker? Or do you love people the way God loves us? With covenant love, saying, you're my friend, which means I am for you, I am with you. Ride or die, I love you. Covenant love makes the world go round. It is a beautiful thing. I hope that we as a church community can have that kind of love. Watch out for one another, care for one another. Last Wednesday, at the end of midweek, a lady who we know from the neighborhood showed up, and she's like, my car broke down on the street. So me and some people went down and pushed the car out of the driveway so we could get to the battery and gave a jump. And she was so grateful because she had no moves. She had no one to call. But these believers on the road are always there to help when they can. And that little bit of connection was life-saving to her. How do you love people? Are you a taker, or do you see people and say, I'm going to love you like God loved me with steadfast, enduring love? As we close our time together, I'm going to ask David to come and pray us out. Brother David, come. David's going to pray us out in a foreign language. It's a wild language. It's called Telugu. I was a linguist in college. This language, one of the hardest languages still spoken on the planet Earth. It is in the Sanskrit family of languages. It's that crazy. How many letters, brother? Well, then how many permutations of the 56 letters, though?
Each alphabet has 10.
56 times 10.
Yeah.
550 characters in the language. It was great to learn. As we leave, if you want information on what's happening in the ministry, there are 2 sign-up sheets outside. Sign up with your email address, and you'll get a monthly email what God's doing in India. If you want that, you don't have to. But if you want to know what God's doing, sign up for an email on the way. David, pray us out this day.
Let's pray. Pradhan Yaskunam. Parishuddha, Sarvashakti Mantida, Garuda Vaina Raja, Nisrasta Maina, Balamaina, Namakamaina, Namaniki, Vala, the Sutulustotram, Prabhu, Yoka, Vodekala Samemlo. ప్రభు ఆ ఫ్లిన్ సిటీ చర్చ్లో నాతో మాతో అందరితో కూడా దేవా బైబిల్ గ్రంథంలో ఉన్నటువంటి రూతు తన యొక్క తల్లి అయినటువంటి తన అత్త అయినటువంటి నయోమి బ్రతుకు ద్వారా ప్రభు మీరు మాతో మాట్లాడిన రీతిని బట్టి నీకు వందనాలు. ఫ్లిన్ సిటీ చర్చ్ని ఇంకా అభివృద్ధి పరచండి. సేవకులను, సంఘంలో ఉన్నటువంటి కుటుంబాలన్నింటినీ కూడా దీవించి ఆశీర్వదించి రాబోవు నీ రాకడ కొరకు సిద్ధపరచమని యేసుక్రీస్తు వారి శ్రేష్టమైన పరిశుద్ధమైన నామంలో ప్రార్థించి వేడుకొనుచున్నాము తండ్రి. ఆమేన్.
ఆమేన్.